Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're going to hit you guys with a little bit of news. A little move of a movie. And we got some quotes from the Russo brothers about the state of the Marvel Universe. And we'll be right back with all that after this.
The Russo's.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley Coffin.
Matthew what Carroll.
Is happening in your world over there in Philadelphia?
I am a sweaty mess because it's like 90 degrees out of nowhere.
Mm.
And this is air conditioner window unit territory.
Yeah. This is the time of year to avoid Philadelphia. When I visited Philadelphia, it was like a little bit later, really. Like right when you hit that summer, it's like you guys are cold most of the year, so you don't have air conditioners in any of your buildings. And right. Then, like, yeah, at least the older buildings don't have AC, and it's just terrible.
Well, like, 2 days ago, it was 30 degrees at night, and then it's 90 now. I'm like, okay, so the morning is winter, and then we go to spring, and then it's fake spring, summer, fake summer, fall, and then winter again.
You're like, who doesn't have seasons? We have four seasons a day.
All of them, and the in-between ones, too.
Yeah, it was rough. I lived there for summer, and that was like one of my core memories of it is like the first half of the summer just being like so sweaty.
Oh yeah, because you hold out. You don't want to give Pico or the electricity people any money. You're like, I could still do this. Open some windows.
Yeah.
Bring out the fans, and then you're like, my cat is like lethargic in the living room, lying on just the cold floor. It's just like I can't move. I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. This is what takes you down, you little scream monster. So we should have a very peaceful podcast.
Finally, the cat is sleepy.
How are you? What's going on over there?
I was just gonna say, just like we don't have AC right now. Our AC's busted, and I gotta like figure out the freaking home warranty thing to see if they'll cover it. That's held me up instead of just calling a place. Because my ADHD won't let me sit down and figure out the paperwork. I'm trying to get it done. But it's starting, it like hasn't been a real problem. And then like 2 nights ago, it was just like so hot in my house, I couldn't sleep. I was like, okay, yeah, it's time to get that
it's sorted. Time. It's like when my one foot outside of the bed sheet doesn't work anymore. It's time.
Yeah.
Because I can't sleep without bed sheets because I'm still afraid that the monster's going to get me. Even at my age has shown that that's not going to happen. I cannot sleep without sheets.
Also, that the sheets would stop the monsters.
Totally. You learn that as logic. Long as you don't look at them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, we're going to talk about a little bit of news. We got the Kraven movie, Kraven the Hunter, has been moved from August 30th to December 13th. What do you think? What do you think has moved back? I mean, I know it's not MCU. It's only MCU adjacent here.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. It feels like a summer movie. He's, you know, topless the whole time. And it's very like, I don't know. I didn't see any snow. Not that it has to be a snow movie. And I would understand if it was coming out the same week as Deadpool. But Deadpool's coming out a whole month before August 30th. So yeah. I don't know. Another rated R movie behind another would be fun.
Yeah, I do think that the Deadpool connection, I hadn't made that one, and I think that's possible, because maybe they're seeing the hype around it, and they're going like, oh, we might want to just not be a Marvel movie to be compared to that. But my theory is that like they're getting some more distance between them and Madame Web, because right now the Sonyverse is like bottomed out, and I think if they give it 6 more months, they might just be like, or I guess 4 more months, They might get a little bit more distance from Madame Web and be able to go like, okay, we're the Sonyverse. Remember us? Forget that last movie. We gave you Sony things before that you liked.
I told you I finally watched that, right?
No. Madame Web. No, please tell me what you thought. God.
Do you know the only thing I took from it?
What's that?
Dakota Fanning can't open a soda can. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
I had to make a video and I sent it to Haley because I watched it by myself and I was like, why can't she open a soda can? It's not one scene. It's not two scenes. It's three scenes.
And where she can't open a soda can?
So you see how I have the can in my hand?
Mm-hmm.
She's just doing dialogue, and she just keeps doing this. And she never... People keep handing her Pepsi to be like, Pepsi, branding. Keep showing the Pepsi can. And she never opens it. In the beginning, he hands her a Mountain Dew can. when they're talking to the like family who's like, get rid of my stepdaughter, and the whole only my like, you know, the mom had died, mm-hmm. and she's like, thanks, and she never opens the cans. She Wait, just
do the cans magically are they open no, at
they're
any
never
point?
Open.
Okay, then it's just a product placement thing.
Yeah. But just hold it then. It's,
right.
It's the constant.
Well, I have a feeling.
I'm going to send it to you. I still have it on my
phone.
Yeah,
please. I have a feeling it has something to do with like the sound too. Like you don't want to like open it in the microphone or whatever. Like the noise. I know that from. But yeah,
people
like.
Do it. Then yeah. just hold it.
Yeah, Dakota. Just hold it or don't. Or have it open in the scene where you like pick it up from somewhere if you need to do the product placement. I don't know. That is weird. That
her
is a weird
and I have
thing.
The same haircut right now, and I have the same outfit that she wears through that movie. So I'm going to definitely be sending you a TikTok to put on our thing of
Sweet.
Me doing it. Something very similar like that. Yeah, and then, like, I don't know, falling
not being
in the
able
forest.
To open a can.
Because we have the same hair right now, and I have that red coat.
Yeah, you could pass. It'd be good.
I like see it. The future. Like,
Madam Coffin.
Who, where are your parents? Like, this is like above me. Oh my God, she can't. I can't.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It was so bad.
So yeah, I don't know. Not a big deal, I guess. Craven moving back. I'm kind of bummed. Like, I'm a little excited for Craven. Like, I still have the mildest amount of hope that another Sony movie can be good. I mean, they've made good ones in the past. It's just like they've been really hitting a lot of stinkers lately though.
Yeah, I'm just a pig, and I can't wait to see Aaron Taylor Johnson run around with no clothes on.
Yeah.
I don't even need anything from the movie. I'm like, he could just be hot. That's yeah. fine.
Sure, absolutely.
And then I can't wait to see what's his face doing yet another accent that's not needed. Russell Crowe. I will only do your movie if I can do the accent, though.
Yeah. For sure. That'll be fun. I think it'll be fun time either way, like you say. But I have hope that there'll be some like good Shakespearean drama that undergirds it with the like brothers and the father and the blah blah. It looks yeah. cool. Okay, but we also had Joe Russo of the Russo Brothers fame, director of many an MCU movie, directors of many an MCU movie. Joe Russo said interesting comments about like what is happening with Marvel and why it's struggling right now. And he says, there's a big generational divide about how to consume media. There's a generation that's used to appointment viewing and going to the theater on a certain date to see something, but it's aging out. Meanwhile, the new generation are, I want it now. I want to process it now. Then moving on to the next thing, which they process whilst doing two other things at the same time. You know, it's a very different moment in time than it's ever been. And so I think everyone, including Marvel, is experiencing the same thing, this transition. And I think that really is probably what's at play more than anything else. What do you think of this take on why things are a little different at Marvel right now?
I think I agree with him, and I think that a lot of people might read this and feel a certain way about it at first, but I think you just need to read it again and realize like what he's trying to say. It's so scary to say anything nowadays as a director or whatever, because people like, he's probably like, this just dropped like 3 hours ago, and he's probably like, why am I trending on Twitter right now? And people are like, shut up, Joe Russo, you don't know anything. But I think he's right, and I don't think he's saying anything bad. It's just that, you know, we do live in a world where you can immediately get content and things drop all at once and you can binge and this and that. And we're all just waiting. And we kind of forgot how long it takes for these things to get made. And you know, and they're trying to speed up the process. And when they did, we were all like, okay, maybe this is a little too much because it's not all great. But no, I get it. And I think I agree with him.
Yeah, I think that what he's saying is true. But I do think there's a little bit of like, get off my lawn. There's a good dose of get off my lawn, other generation type thing, I think, which I don't think he is including in there, but I think you can read into it. Like, he's like, well, you know, there's just a different generation. I think he's actually being very political and saying like, you know, there's a different generation. They consume things differently. It's a different time. He's not saying it's a worse time, but I think you can also read this sort of statement as, yeah, kids don't have attention spans now. Yeah. You know, like they're not paying attention. When he says the thing about them doing two other things while they're consuming your media, and like as a director, that's like really insulting to be like, well, yeah, I released a great movie and people watched it and they played on their phones the whole time. You know what I mean?
But like, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Unless you go to the movie theater, and that's when you have to really engage. It's when I talked to right. a friend of mine who was like, oh, I think I watched the first Dune movie. I was like, what do you mean you think? She's like, well, it was on, but I was on my phone a lot. And I was like, what? But yeah, that's what people do now if you're at home with the content. Right, but if you get forced to go to the movies, you can't really do that. People do. But more than likely, you're not going to. So you're kind of forced to live in their little universe world, which is what people want.
Yeah. And and that's the thing. I think that, I mean, this is a deeper conversation than just the movies even. But like life in general is about finding the way to focus and be present. You know, like be present doing the thing you're doing. Because our brains, especially in our society today and the technology, the way it's progressed, have this desire to be constantly distracted and have more input pouring into them all the time. And it's just like jangly keys. We love the jangly keys, but it's being able to sit down and truly enjoy something is a decision you can make. And that's not just a movie. It's like truly enjoying time with your family or time with your partner or time with a friend. Any kind of experience at a concert, whatever you're doing, like enjoy that thing in that moment. Take the time away to like get off the other stuff you've got to do and like be in the present moment. Like it's hard and mm-hmm. people are not used to doing it because we have like four, you know, now that things are streaming, like we see them and kids have multiple devices and they're like, you know, working on a drawing on their iPad and they're also surfing TikTok and they're watching a movie and it's just like, yeah. And it's not just kids. I don't mean to generation shame, but like it is, you know, it's just an advancement of technology. Yeah. And we have to be the ones to decide, is that technology serving us in that moment? Or are we serving the technology, you know?
Yeah.
And that's weird because
even when I'm at home watching a movie, I'm completely engaged with, if my phone gets a message, I pick it up, I look at it, I read it and I answer, you mm-hmm. know, like it's. I don't think to do that. But when I'm at the movie theater, that, you know, I turn it off. I silence it because I have this anxiety that I'm going to be the one whose phone goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So I always turn my phone off in the movie theater because it's never going to be me. But yeah, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's our life now.
It's our life now. And we have, yeah, I think we have to make the decision sometimes, like for content to be quality and not just the loudest, most distracting thing. Is the most popular thing, which I think is part of the whole like rise of reality TV and stuff. It's just like, what is the most loud and distracting and exciting thing? It's a bunch of people drunk and fighting at a like mansion or whatever. And you're just like, mm-hmm. my eyes are going, whatever can draw your eyeballs these days gets the attention. And like, it's just, I hope that we can maintain a culture where what can draw our eyeballs is quality experiences, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's never been that quality experience draws the majority of eyeballs. It's always been that, like, that there's a reason people talk about the lowest common denominator. And it's like, go way back in movies. And it's like, you have these big, amazing pieces of art, and they get covered up by the spectacle, you know? And so, yeah. It's always been that way, I guess. But yeah. It's just an extreme version now. Well, that's bummed me out. this is really funny. This is a Sean Levy quote, the director of Deadpool, that we have next. And it's kind of funny to me because, like, if you read into this, it's almost the opposite of the Russo's quote. If you read into it, it's not. But Sean Levy is talking about Deadpool, and he's talking about how much you need to have watched of previous content in the MCU and in the X-Men series to understand this movie. And he said, I was a good student in school. I'll do my homework as an adult, but I am definitely not looking to do homework when I go to the movies. I very much made this film with certainly a healthy respect and gratitude towards the rabid fan base that has peak fluency in the mythology and lore of these characters and this world, but I didn't want to presume that. The movie is built for entertainment and with no obligation to come prepared with prior research. Which I think it's just kind of funny. yeah. I think it's the only way to make a movie. And it's what we've been talking about for years with like the balance between how much do you connect with the TV shows and stuff? And how much do you connect with prior content? Like, you have to make the movie stand on its own, but include things for the people that are the deep lore lovers and, like, know all the other movies, you know? But the movie can't be, like, so reliant on it that it loses the you know, the lowest common denominator, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is kind of, in a weird, funny way, the opposite of what the Russo brothers are talking about, how, like, this shift in media and how nobody can pay attention. And Sean Levy's like, you don't need to pay attention to anything else. Like, just enjoy this thing I'm putting in front of you. It's going to be a spectacle, you know?
I mean, I'm glad that he's doing that, but I'm also like, you're lying. You had to do a lot of research to make this movie, to do all the little tie-ins and the little quips and the little Easter eggs that people aren't going to get, but are going to be specifically for us, because he's going to balance it out.
Right. Well, so- I don't think he's saying he didn't do research. I think he's saying that, like, he doesn't make movies for people to need to do research.
Right, which is good. I mean, you got to sell tickets. You don't want to make it, you know.
So specific.
So specific. I'm trying to think of, like, a Marvel movie where you had to, like, if you went and saw Ant-Man 3 and never saw a Marvel movie before, then you would have no idea what the hell was going on.
That's a really good point. And we talk about, like, the success and failure of Phase 4 or whatever. Phase 5, and it's like, some of that, I think, is that thing of, like, this is not, Stan Lee used to always say, this is, every comic book is somebody's first comic book, you know, and every one of these movies is somebody's first. And I do think that some of these movies and some of these series are starting to get mired in the lore in a way that, like, is hard to follow if you don't know them. They're not, like, catching people up.
Right.
I do think that Ant-Man, if you've seen the other Ant-Man movies, you might mostly know what's going on, but you still, like, missed Endgame, you know? Like, you can't know.
Well, you watch that one, you go back, and you're like, that's not his daughter.
Who is this person? So, before we move on, let's tell the people about Beam's Dream Powder.
Let's do it.
You were talking about sleeping earlier.
I cannot sleep ever. I'm one of those people who, once you fall asleep, are up every 2 hours. You know, you take something for it, like a prescription, you get groggy in the morning, then you can't get up and your whole day is kind of ruined. But, you know, Beam really does work. It keeps you asleep. You feel good in the morning. It's delicious.
It really is. It's all those things. It's a great experience and it's very effective. We're talking about Beam's Dream Powder. It's their healthy hot cocoa for sleep. It is an all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano-CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. It's really, really cool. 93% of people in a clinical study reported Dream helped them get better sleep. So, you know, it gets better sleep. You just sip on hot cocoa with all these wonderful, wonderful flavors, and it just helps you sleep. It's designed to do that, but also it's just like, it's a wonderful ritual and triggering thing you can do to, like, sip on your hot cocoa, get warm and cozy. And I just think the warmth of the liquid helps me sleep. Like, I love it.
Yeah. And it's good. There's no added sugar, in case, you know, people worry about that. You don't want to have any of that right before bed. And you can't tell, because I have a sweet tooth, like a really, really bad sweet tooth. And this, I've also find, can help satisfy that at night instead of going for the cookies or whatever I usually go to and sneak in the kitchen while Ken's in the other room. Now I can just be like, oh, I'm drinking my sleep drink. It's delicious and makes me feel good.
I love it. Well, if you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use code MCUpod at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use MCUpod for up to 40% off. It's great for sleepins, guys. Get them sleepins.
Yeah, go do it.
Yeah, we said we were going to do a good feedback episode this week, and we got we're a little light on the X-Men feedback, I got to say. I thought we'd get more. Yeah, I feel like we got a lot of stuff after Remember It, and then, like, people are a little less, like, the last two episodes have been good, but not as shocking.
Yeah, they can't all be that.
That wouldn't be that if they were all that. Those too many that's in one sentence, sorry. way too many. Nobody knows what I just said. but we did have some feedback. Let's see. Dylan Diggs says, hey guys, this is not about X-Men. But he says, hey guys, I just wanted to chime in and, say that I appreciate you guys. I've admittedly dropped off on my listening a bit. The elections, the various wars / global situation have distracted me from the MCU a bit, but also admittedly, I just haven't been as jazzed about the recent movies as I was a year ago. Don't get me wrong, I'm highly excited about the upcoming shows / movies, but the past few haven't been kept me locked in. Secret Invasion did some damage. in any case, I was listening on my drive yesterday and it just felt like home. Thanks for being you and creating a community you created. That's all. 3,000 and all that. Cheers, Dylan Diggs.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Dylan. I get it. People have, you know, they got the problems with what's going on, and
yeah,
it's not unjustified.
Absolutely. And you know, we've talked a lot about like the sort of downturn in phase four. And like how people just aren't as interested in content about the MCU anymore, like as they used to be. And our podcast, like we still have a very healthy number of listeners that are listening every week, but we've dipped since things mm-hmm. have like gotten shakier. And like one aspect I'd never really thought about, and I'm surprised I haven't thought about it because it's definitely true in my life, is like he mentioned, the elections, the wars, the global situation, like all the stuff that's going on in the world, like. I find myself consuming a lot more of that content these days than I do, like I don't listen to as many after shows. I still try to watch. I mean, honestly, part of it's family stuff too, but like family stuff, I don't watch as many movies as I used to and shows. And then like the stuff I do watch, I don't watch as many after shows because I do watch a lot of politics and stuff. And I wonder how many people are having that same experience out there where they're not only are they not like, into the things right now, but it's like the world's crazy. The world's got some crazy stuff going on.
I find that I do the opposite because you get to a point where you're like, I can't do anything about this. I can't change any of this. I can just keep watching this awfulness over and over again. And it's not that I don't acknowledge it or see it's there. Like I said, after I watched, 20 Days in Mariupol or whatever, like I know what's going on. But I can't just, after Trump, I just felt like I couldn't watch the news like that again. Because I think it also bled in like with the COVID stuff. Just turned into so much news watching. And then I kind of just was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I read some stuff. I'm informed, but I'm not just constantly letting, you know, it gets to the point where you feel like other people are thinking for you. You don't know which news things to watch. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's accurate. I mean, you don't watch Fox, but you don't know what news things to watch. You don't read the Post. But you just, you know, and I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it go for a little while. And that's where like I'll find, you know, I consume more other stuff, kind of the way people go to what you were saying about reality shows. It's like I just need something I can watch that shuts me down.
Yeah.
That I don't have to like really think about it. It's not that I don't know what's going on. I'm just not letting it consume my life anymore.
I tend to do sort of an ebb and flow thing where my normal mode is listening to a lot of like news and politics and stuff these days. But I go into like sort of these like weeks of self-care where I'm like, I just can't. And I just like, I give it all up for a week or two. And like, listen to a lot of other stuff that I would just feel like listening to fun stuff or silly stuff.
Yeah. Only John Oliver tells me the news anymore. So I'm not uninformed, but you know.
Yeah. John is weird because like, yes, he definitely informs, but he focuses on a really random specific topic every week. So it's not like that is in the news this week. It's just like an essay on some random topic. And so you end up being like really informed about Boeing's planes, but like
this week is UFOs.
That was a weird one for me. Like I kept thinking he was gonna go into like this is the John Oliver after show, but like I kept thinking he was gonna go into like a broader point about what UFOs say about like the way we're responding to UFOs say about society, because there were a couple off-roads to that, but no, he did like a good 30 minutes on just UFOs. Like, and I was like, this is weird, man. This is cool.
Nobody really knows. We still don't know.
it's very strange. Very strange for that show to be focused on that this week.
I think it's because they're going to let us know soon. I mean, they already did, and everyone was like, we don't care.
Well, let us know. Let us know what.
They were like, this was a UFO video, that space call. It's not that it was aliens. It's just that nobody has any idea what that flying object was. Right, so we're going to say UFOs are real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just an unidentified flying object, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That was basically the point of his whole thing, was like, yeah, they said UFOs are real, but like, that just means we have a bunch of unidentified stuff. It doesn't mean...
The thing that gets me about aliens is that sound that's coming back to us from space, that deep rumble that they've been able to like hear from like the 70s. I love that. That's my favorite. They did a Drunk History on that, and I think Jenny Slade's doing the voiceover thing, or like telling the story drunk. So if you're looking for that one, that's like my favorite space thing, is that random sound that every once in a while is just like, and everyone's like, what is it?
I love what we're learning about your media diet and your consumption of the news, because it's John Oliver and Drunk History.
I know everything.
I get my news from John Oliver, which is only about weird specific stories, and I get my cultural and historical context from Drunk History. You're well informed. That's all you need.
I'm extremely informed. And then Conan. And then Conan takes me around the world.
Oh, yeah. Conan's your geography class. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how Conan responds to cultures. That's funny. I did watch that Conan, too, this week.
It's funny. The show's Conan. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big Conan fan from, like, 1993 or whatever. Like, I was He's on that favorite. First season. Yeah. These days, though, for me, like, this is, I guess we're just, like, a little diverted right now, but these days for me, Seth Meyers is just, like, my favorite late night guy right now.
Since Conan left, I can't get into any of the other ones.
Watch a Seth Meyers drink one. Have you seen those? Okay,
I've heard about them.
They're called, like, Seth Meyers. Day drinking with Seth Meyers and some celebrity, and, like, he just has some, and, like, it just made me think, like, I want to be friends with Seth Meyers so bad. Yeah. Like, it's just so much fun.
My favorite one with him is the series he does with Leslie Jones, where they watch the 9th episode of all the Game of Thrones. They watch them live, like, the big episodes, like the Jon Snow battle one, and then the last one, they watch them together.
That's fun.
I want to watch Game of Thrones with Leslie Jones.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's so funny.
I bet that's amazing. Okay, well, getting back to things. Thanks, Dylan, for the kind words, and thanks for all the listeners out there who are sticking with us. And I know, like, it's not like a bunch of people have left. I just think that, like, people check in differently during these kind of times of downtimes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the numbers change, and the numbers shift, and they go up and down. Like, we had huge numbers for our podcast, huge numbers for Loki and all that stuff, but, like, during the animated stuff, it dips a little bit, and we know
Shocker,
people kind of come and go.
I wonder why. No. I love animated stuff now, apparently.
You've poisoned everyone against animation. It's Ashley's fault. Everyone loved animation before Ashley said anything.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I'm here now. What the hell's going on? And everybody already left.
Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of animation, let's turn to X-Men. We got a few of these X-Men feedbacks. KT Lisbeth, one of our patrons, says, episode 6, before listening to the Jam breakdown, OMFG, Charles' lecture is basically the history of colonizer nations. Damn, Eric Killmonger would eat that up. Like, teach, professor. Storm getting her powers back was way cool. And then, finally, if you're an Omega-level mutant, does everybody basically get in line to do you? Because that's how they're portraying it in this season of Days of Our X-Men. Days of Our X-Men.
That's exactly what the original series is like. It's just a soap opera.
Oh, yeah. It really is very soap opery. Very melodramatic.
Gene.
Very relationship-focused, which, you know, stories should be. But, yeah. Like, everybody wants a piece of that. And dang, Charles' reaction to Mutant 9/11 hurt. Yeah, it did.
Where are you, Charles?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I complained about it last week when we have an episode like Remember It, which is this insanely amazing, like, tragedy, and then they don't go back to it for an episode. And then we get an episode where Charles Xavier, you know, Deus ex-professorus is coming back. Sorry. It's coming back to the planet. And, like, he could be a huge factor in whatever's going to happen for the end of the season. And they take another episode where nothing happens with that. And I just really...
Yeah.
I know that's how storytelling works sometimes, but it's my least favorite episode structure is when you just leave a story completely and go tell a different one and then come back to the next. It feels like you're watching a show that is like every other episode is about a different thing, and I don't love that.
Yeah, where's Storm? Where's Xavier? That's a whole episode in between where they both were like, uh-oh, we better go back.
Right.
And I would have really liked it. I kind of think I would have liked it if Storm was there to get Rogue, to kind of bring her back.
Yes, yes. I thought the same thing. And there were definitely moments in this episode where I was like, oh, yeah, surely that's Storm. And no, it was not. So, yeah. Okay.
It's Maddle Jean.
Continuing with KT's feedback, she says, jam reaction to X-Men Episode 7. It happened over there to their kind. That hurts. For all natural or man-made disasters, it didn't happen in white America or Europe. This is the response. And people from those nations feel it. Oof. This show spoke that silent part out loud. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's what X-Men's always done.
Mm-hmm. It really has. And I feel like in this, I mean, maybe I go back and the other stuff is just as much, but this just feels, maybe because the world is different now and the politics are different now, this just felt like it's like really hitting directly at what's going on in the world. Oh
no, go back and watch, because even we rewatched Deadpool and Deadpool 2. And even in the beginning of that, Deadpool turns around and makes a joke about, like something the X-Men, you know, doing whatever since the 60s, you know, shining a light on social injustice since the 60s. Like, it is very much, like, the other ones are more blunt about it because it was more for kids.
Right.
So it is a lot more in your face.
It's funny because, like, I think I didn't follow politics as closely, obviously, when I was 8 or whatever. So, like, the idea, we were just talking about it, how, like, politics are different now, and we follow like we're an age and stuff where we're following politics a lot closer. And so, like, yeah, it's weird. It's weird to see it so juxtaposed with like the headlines and what's in the cartoon. And part of it is just the fact that like we are literally having to have a discussion in the world right now of like if bigotry is bad, and that like
I
that
can't
sort
believe
of
it.
Fundamental like discussion being had. The fact that, and I mean, it goes to lots of other things. I could talk, but we won't get too deep. I could keep going on this, but we won't. But like, yeah, just the fact that we have to like the idea of standing up and saying bigotry bad, is like is people start going, you know, that's too woke. It's like, no, it's not. No. That's basics. Like, man, if you think that's too woke, then you are the sleepiest. You are the sleepiest.
I know. I'm over here just like, can somebody just let me know when I get to go back into the kitchen? I'm so done with work. Just let me know. I don't have kids, so the kitchen is perfect for me.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'll take the rule of thumb. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, gosh.
I'm kidding.
I wouldn't. He would hit me once, and it would be like, wife murders husband, and I'd be like Roxy in Chicago, and that's my dream. Sorry, I had a lot of Red Bull before this show. I'm on a roll.
you're going for it. KT continues, damn, so many truth bombs to the press for Beast. Mm-hmm. Also, didn't you guys say that he was dating that reporter? So, I mean, she got very real answers to her interview questions, but hey, she probably enjoyed the view. This is getting hardcore.
Isn't she blind?
Wait, the reporter?
Oh, wait, maybe that was a different girlfriend. Sorry. Oh,
okay.
One of his other girlfriends in the show. Sorry, my bad.
I was like, no, yeah, that's funny. Okay, continuing, this is getting hardcore, and I bet our queen is so here for it.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Absolutely. Thanks, Katie.
I'm still, you know, we're 7 episodes in. I'm still doing it. I love it.
Yeah, you're actually in. I feel like, you know, I feel like you're getting into the, I think this is more, obviously much more up your alley than the what if stuff.
I've been waiting for X-Men for so long since all of this started back in Iron Man stuff. Like, I'm like, y'all aren't ready for when this X-Men stuff, the knowledge that I have packed in here instead of math, reading, nouns, blow everybody away. Finally, I can use it.
Your favorite class in school was X-Men, History of the X-Men. Love it. Okay, so moving on, we have our next feedbacker here. Caleb Shelby says, oh, my mistress of the elements, part 2.
Yes.
Just finished watching the episode, and it was packed with answers, action, and animation. A couple of things I want to comment on. First, We now see Nightcrawler in the intro. I also believe they cut out Magneto and Gambit, RIP, until further notice. Second, Charles is alive? I knew they had to bring him back for the show. I'm digging the Shi'ar suit and how it enables him to walk. Hopefully he keeps it or gets one made when he eventually returns to Earth. Third, when Forge used magic, it looked exactly like how the MCU portrays Doctor Strange using his magic. Coincidence? I think not! Hashtag cue the theme music. Lastly, our Storm is back. I believe it was Ashley who brought up how in the original series, Storm's one weakness is claustrophobia, and they used it in this episode. She was able to break free the physical space and the nightmares the adversary had her confined in. The animation of her fight sequence with the different elements while wearing the iconic black costume was a highlight of the episode for me. This show is just too good. Thank you, Jam, for all you do. For all time, always, Caleb Shelby.
Yeah, I agree. That the black outfit's my favorite on her because I love a crown.
It's beautiful.
I'm it very really partial is. To so like her outfit like that. Polaris is kind of like that one. I don't know. I like the skin showing outfits. Like it's very unfeminine of me, but you know what? You take that power, girl. You show them what you can do with that monokini.
That's right. That's right. Give me monokinis all day.
And those high boots. I knew we were going for it when I saw the Goblin Queen, and I was like, damn, she just got out of Fredericks from Hollywood.
What makes it a monokini? What's a monokini?
So a monokini is when you have the bikini top and the bottom, but there's just one string that holds the top and the bottom part together.
So it's like a one piece because it's one piece to tie together.
Right, but the whole sides are
still
out.
A kini.
Pretty much so, what Storm is wearing is a monokini.
Okay, I dig it. I dig it. Okay, up next, Macy Lynn Keller says, "Hey Jam, long time listener, first time writing in. Oh wow. Ooh. Welcome to the show. On the latest X-Men reaction episode, Matt brought up the green lasers could be teleporting mutants somewhere else instead of killing them, and how it reminded him of the show that did a similar thing, and I just had to write in and point out that Loki did exactly that with the pruning sticks." Yes, good call. Good
was
call.
It green?
It was not green. It was like golden color.
I thought it
like,
was golden.
Well, I think maybe the yeah, it was like a golden. Okay. It almost
but
looked like
light.
I think she's just pointing out that like six episodes we thought they were killing people, or I guess 4 episodes we thought they were killing people, and then we discovered they were teleporting them to the end of time.
Right.
Like they're doing the same thing expositionally that I was saying, not necessarily the same thing visually. But now that we know that Magneto's alive, it's really got me curious if that theory is correct. In which case, do we have everybody still alive, or? Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm like, did nobody go look for his body?
Well, they had that green stuff was just disintegrating.
Just dusting people, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's what made me think. But like, when he got dusted, it was obscured by him like putting up the force field and everything. So it's possible that everyone else is dead and he just survived because of his protection shield, and then they like, picked him up afterwards or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, it really does make me wonder if that like was teleporting people, especially now that we know that Bastion is this like a super technological character. Continuing what Macy Lynn has to say. Anyway, I'm a huge fan of the whole network. Shout outs to Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater, Multiverse News, and Commute the Podcast for being the shows that get me through the week. Love and appreciate you all, Macy Lynn. Thank you, Macy
Lynn.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm glad you like the horror stuff.
Yeah. I was telling you before we started, I was casting with Bill Bria of Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater fame about the Planet of the Apes series. And yeah, like he's just so knowledgeable. So knowledgeable. I feel like I should tell him this to his face instead of saying it about him on a podcast. But yeah, it's intimidating.
It's so intimidating.
He's so knowledgeable and well spoken that like it comes to be my turn and I'm like, okay, I gotta say this better and I gotta like know what I'm talking about when it's my turn to talk, because it makes me want to elevate my game.
That's why I've just embraced that he and I are Pinky in the Brain. It's just that is if you Bill and Ash's Terror Theater is pretty much Pinky in the Brain.
That's amazing. That's what you got to do when because you have value. your value on a podcast is not how smart you are. We get those emails for the entirety of this podcast. For 10 years we've been doing this podcast, we've gotten emails like, how dare you guys do a Marvel podcast when you don't know that this obscure comic book reference? And yeah. I'm like, that's not what we do here, guys. We don't know everything. We are fans of this. We know the content itself pretty well. Like, yeah, but we forget things. And like, we're human beings who are fans of this stuff. And it is not our job to be the most knowledgeable people. Our job is to, like, share the conversation and reaction with you guys and like let you be a part of it and all kind of like commiserate around the water cooler. It's not to be like the most knowledgeable. But that being said, when you get on a podcast with someone so knowledgeable, it's like, I feel like I gotta up my game, man. I should be more like Bill. Why am I not more like Bill?
That's Bill's job, so don't let it get to your head. If that was all you had to do and be a film historian and do all that stuff, like watching, like that's my dream.
Yeah, it's super.
But I'll never talk as well as Bill, so I'm not allowed to do it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But you guys check out Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater if you haven't, because it's a lot of fun. You know, you get that wonderful Ashley that you love over here
who doesn't know anybody's name. Who knows names but just doesn't say them properly.
Yeah, never pronounces the
monolith.
Monolith.
I've gotten so much fun shit about Monolith over the last week and a half, just sort of like little private messages or whatever. Very funny. I'm glad I could make a lot of people's day with that.
Please share that stuff to the Stranded Panda chat. I want to see those too.
Okay.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. Oh, speaking of people sending you all those messages, one of our listeners, James McGregor out of Australia, of all things, of all places, I guess I should say. Yeah, different thing. People, places, and things. He sent us a wonderful care package to the three of us of Tim Tams, which is apparently an institution of a kind of candy from Australia. A cookie, I guess, is better. Mm. I don't know. Do they call them cookies or biscuits or candy? What do they call them over there?
Biscuits, maybe? I don't know. I'm enjoying this, though, because I mentioned liking Cadbury, and Karen Thomas sent me a whole bunch of Cadbury things around Easter. And that's kind of where this came from, because he was like, oh, well, if you like these, you're going to like this, you know, these, you know, a surprise chocolate thing. And I'm like, if I am totally fine with this, send us all the chocolate. Yeah, I could be like, paid in chocolate.
It was super cool. It was super cool. And also just to get like a kind of chocolate from another part of the world is just fun. And they are really, really tasty. I have to forward them on to you guys.
Yeah, I just watched you eat one in my face and I'm jealous.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading her the letter and ate one of them and it's really good. They're very light. They're like a very light milk chocolate. Like really, really good.
I thought he was going to send Vegemite, and I was going to be so disappointed. I have, and Australians, I have tried. I've enjoyed Vegemite at 3 o'clock in the morning in New York City, drunk eating it off the floor with my friends from Australia. But other than that, I was like, I thought I really liked this, and I did not. It's just an acquired taste.
Well, we can't thank you enough, James, for the kind note you sent and the kind gift. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, James.
We really should. Just get more stuff. Like, yeah.
Just send us more chocolate.
Everybody out there, if you have an interesting thing that's regional, we'd love to taste it.
Yeah, and I'll eat it.
Give it to Mikey. He'll eat it. He'll eat anything. But no, thank you very much. That's very sweet. And just it continues to blow me away. There are people out here that listen to the show and that feel connected to it and feel thankful for it and appreciative in such a way to send something like that. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Makes us feel loved and appreciated.
Very sweet. Got it.
Yeah. Really super sweet. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, James. And that's about the podcast. You got anything you want to tell people other than that?
I'm done. We just did Abigail on Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater with Haley. She's all hard out, but I feel like we're getting her in there. We're getting her in there. Getting her little tabs. We did a lot this time. It was pretty gory, but, you know, we'll get her back.
Great. Love it. All right. Well, yeah, we'll be back soon with all the things. I think we already mentioned a lot of the other stuff going on. So, yeah, we'll be back soon. Check out all the other podcasts at strandedpanda.com. And we'll be back to talk about X-Men in a couple days. We're getting close to the end here. I'm excited to see. It's been so epic that I hope they end it epically.
Yeah, well, it's gearing up to be because it's a three-parter and they only do that for the big stuff.
Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. We'll come back for that three-parter on Friday morning. We'll be dropping that episode. Thanks so much. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.